Welcome to Ink and Impact, the podcast for Christian writers who want to impact their readers. I'm your host, Daylene Bickle, and each week I'll help you keep a pulse on the publishing industry, showcase Christian authors and their books, and share ways you can improve your craft and magnify your message. Whether you're a fiction or nonfiction writer, traditionally or indie published, established, or just starting out, this podcast is for you. Today is the industry update episode. It's one of my favorites, but you know, I love talking to fellow authors and other publishing professionals, industry professionals. So every episode is a great episode, right? But I am always fascinated by what's going on behind the scenes in the publishing industry. And this is my opportunity to share with you some of what I have been discovering. And first on the list, I'm going to dive right in, is Amazon. You know, we have a love-hate relationship with Amazon, a lot of us authors, but the fact remains that they are one of the largest online retailers of books. So, you know, actually, they probably are the largest. That's one statistic I haven't researched to confirm yet, but we know that they are large, and there are sales that happen there, and we want to take advantage of as many sales as possible on that platform, right? And so in the past, as authors, we link our book to, like, if we mention it in our blog posts or if we mention it on our website, our books, and then we link it to Amazon, we've never in the past known if those links are effective. How many people are clicking on them? What's happening? Where are the sales coming from on Amazon with our books? That has always been kept behind closed doors until this month. Amazon has released Amazon Attribution. This is how they define it. It is an advertising and analytics measurement solution that gives marketers insight into how their non-Amazon marketing channels perform on Amazon. So again, those non-Amazon marketing channels would be your newsletter, your blog, Facebook, Instagram, all those places that you reference your book and provide a link to people to go and purchase the book on Amazon. Basically, they give you a separate link for each of those channels, each of those marketing methods. And so then you can then see which of those links are performing better. Where are your book buyers coming from? Are they your newsletter subscribers? Are they your social followers? So forth. It's really important data, and it's exciting. According to their website, and I'm going to provide the link so you can look at it yourself and sign up if you're interested. But right now it says that there are no costs associated with this. You just simply have to sign up as an Amazon Attribution account. All right. And once you do that, then you will add each of your books. You know, if you have more than one, you'll want to add each one of those in there. And then you're going to generate separate tags or links for each of those books, for each of your marketing strategies. So you're going to have a number of different tags, different links to use, and then you're going to start using them. You can then start analyzing your data, and it's very important to check the ROI, that return on investment. Where is your money coming from? Where are the sales coming from? How many people clicked that link? This is some of the information you're going to be able to find. The number of people that clicked your link, how many books were purchased from that link, and then the total sales amount that you earned from that link. So that's really exciting information. It's going to help you better market your materials and know what's working, what isn't, and then you can tweak what isn't working or stop using that altogether if that's what you choose to do. But you know, when we become authors and we want to sell our books, you know, if we want to become paid authors, let me put it that way, we then by default become business owners. And every business owner has to be aware of their bottom line, where the sales are coming from, where they're losing money, all of that. And so we as authors need to do that as well. So this is really exciting, and it's actually good news coming from Amazon for a change. All right, next, the American Bible Society, they have come out with their annual State of the Bible. This is a really detailed document. It's 218 pages, very detailed, and I haven't looked at even a third of it all. But I was skimming through it today because I knew I was going to be recording this podcast episode, and I wanted to be able to include a few stats from it. As you can imagine, some of it's a little sobering, actually a lot of it's sobering, about how few people are reading the Bible. But there are notes of encouragement in there as well. First stat that I wanted to share with you, let me pull that up so I can read it directly to you. So these are statistics based on the type of people who are engaged in Scripture, okay? Of the people they call Scripture engaged, that's 19% of American adults. That's a really low number. But of that 19%, women are more Scripture engaged than men, 21% versus 16%. And they say, looking at it another way, 58% of Scripture-engaged adults are female. Also, elders are most likely to be Scripture-engaged, so they define that as being 77 years old and older. African Americans are the ethnic group most likely to be Scripture-engaged. The widowed and married people are more likely to be Scripture-engaged. People living in small cities with a population of 5,000 to 30,000 are most likely to be Scripture engaged. And regionally, the South has the highest Scripture engagement numbers. If we scroll a couple pages down, we come to a statistic where it was asking individuals, they did a survey, nationwide survey, and they asked, how do you think our country would be without the Bible? So 14% of people believe we would be better off without the Bible. And these are of the people, you know, that they surveyed. Obviously, it's not every person in the United States, but of the people they surveyed, 14% said that they believed we'd be better off without the Bible. Breaks my heart. 41% feel that we'd be about the same. Again, that's a worrying statistic. And only 45% believe that we'd be worse off without the Bible in America. But interestingly, in America, I always perceive it as a country where everybody has access to a Bible, right? At least that was my perception. But it says here that nearly one in four people in America don't own a Bible. And they explain that some just aren't readers. Some follow other religions. Some hold negative feelings about the Bible. And they ask, but are there some who would accept a Bible if we gave them one? Are there some who would use a Bible app if we gave them a recommendation or a link? Those are powerful questions and things that we, as writers, and Christian writers specifically, should be aware of. Are we pointing people to the Bible in our stories? Are we making the Bible accessible to our readers? Are we telling them where they can access one? When we're talking with people one-on-one, are we offering them a Bible? Good questions to ask ourselves. And then one of the most, I guess, staggering, for lack of a better word, statistic was Bible users, those that do use the Bible, interact with the Bible at least 3 to 4 times a year on their own outside of church or mass. They only interact with it at least 3 or 4 times a year on their own outside of church. Whew. If that doesn't give us pause, I don't know what does. This is yet again another proof that we need, as Christian writers, to incorporate biblical truth and scripture throughout our books, no matter what we're writing, no matter what genre. It's so important to point people to Christ, because if they don't have a Bible, if they aren't aware of Bible apps, if people aren't talking to them in their everyday lives about the Bible, then, you know, maybe what they're reading, and if they come across what we're writing, we can point them to the Bible, to God's Word, because ultimately, God's Word points them to Christ and to salvation. It is important. And I just want us to just remember that what we're doing isn't just to write a book. It is to make an impact, an eternal impact on our readers. They gave another statistic. I did scroll all the way to the end. It's a graphic that they share 3 more statistics, and then I'm going to end this topic with you because I don't want to beat you over the head with it, but it is important. So it says, exploring ways to increase Bible reading. And they say that those who follow a schedule, plan, or program are 42% more likely to increase their Bible reading. Those who read one or more chapters or a complete story out of the Bible are 48% more likely to increase future Bible reading. And those who read about the same time of day are 24% more likely to increase their Bible reading. So what's the takeaway from this? Why is that important or helpful? Well, I thought it would be helpful because so many of the women that I know, especially those that come to my weekly Inkwell writing sessions online, are writing blogs and devotionals and Bible studies. So knowing this information can help them market their materials to the right audience. We already know that women are more engaged readers of the Bible, right? And now we know that if we encourage them, share these tips of how they can become more involved in the Bible by reading the same time every day, getting on a schedule or a plan or a program. If you write plans, Bible reading plans or programs, this is important information for you, especially if you're going to be pitching your idea to a publisher. You know, share these statistics. That's why statistics are important too. They can back up proof that your book is needed in the marketplace. You can read the full 218-page State of the Bible. And this is, again, for in the United States only. That's where the survey was conducted. But I will provide a link so you can download your own free copy of the State of the Bible in the show notes. The third and final industry source for this week comes from Publishers Weekly, and it was an article dated October 21st of this year called Booksellers Thrilled to Get Back Together. I think that's a pretty universal thread, at least here in the U.S. We're all just so glad to be able to reconvene at conferences and meetings and just be face-to-face once again, and that is the case with the bookselling industry. So these are regional booksellers, independent bookstore owners, and so they have their own conferences, regional conferences every year, or at least they did before COVID, and now this year there were 6 different regional conferences. And why am I mentioning about booksellers on a podcast targeting authors? Well, it's because at these conferences, they oftentimes not only mingle among themselves, but they also invite publishing industry professionals and authors. And since these are regional booksellers, they sometimes are more open to authors of independent publishers. You know, sometimes those are hybrid publishers, but they might also be open to actual indie authors who self-publish. I have not researched that specifically myself, but I do know that my former guest on the show, Douglas Bond, mentioned that he has sold books and promoted his books at industry conferences as well. So I do believe it's doable. It's something to at least look into. Why not? What a great market, you know, places where people would buy your books more than one at a time. So, of course, the booksellers are glad to be back together for community and support because, you know, they're still financially struggling. So thankful that many of them have been able to make the adjustments necessary since COVID. They're still financially struggling. There are still supply chain issues that are plaguing not only booksellers, but also book publishers, you know, getting the paper, the shipping delays, all of that. But, you know, talking about them having to create new best practices to compensate for all of these issues, one thing that was mentioned, it's a bookstore called Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul, Minnesota. They have gone to totally cashless sales in their bookstore. And, you know, there's been talk of that for years about, you know, cashless society, just like there was supposed to be a paperless society, you know, right? But we're still using paper. But the takeaway here is, again, it's a marketing opportunity for independent authors to go to these conferences, but also to be aware of what and how people are wanting to purchase the books. So if we're going to fairs or, you know, just local events and trying to sell our books, make sure that you are set up to receive payment in the method that your audience prefers to pay. So in addition to cash, be sure you have a way to accept cashless purchases, whether that's one of those Square devices on your phone to accept credit cards, whether it's Venmo or some other method like that. Just be aware that you could miss out on sales if you don't have multiple ways of accepting payment. That is in summary of what's been happening lately in the industry. And I also wanted to give an update about what's been happening behind the scenes in my world as well. So today in the Inkwell, if you're not familiar with the Inkwell or have never joined, I'll be putting the link in the show notes. But every Wednesday is an opportunity for us to gather together, to connect, to network as writers, as Christian writers, and we share insights, we share writing events that are going on in our areas, we share tips, we pray, and then of course we write. The whole purpose of the Inkwell is to provide us with time to write, work on those works in progress. It's accountability, and it's just a wonderful time to get the work done. So today we discussed, you know, how to avoid overusing a character's name and the associated pronouns. Every week we have just whatever questions or things that are going on in our writing, we talk about them. And so that was one of the things that we discussed today. Another reason to join into the Inkwell, right? To ask those questions and get some answers from fellow writers. And last week during a coaching call I had with a client, I walked her through the pros and cons of self-publishing versus traditionally publishing, and also answered some of her questions about marketing and how she can tweak her website to improve those book sales that way. We discussed a few other little things, but you know, the coaching calls are just 20 minutes of answering your top pressing needs, your pressing concerns about your book, and then helping to set you up with a plan to move forward and make progress with your book and your marketing. If you're ever interested in setting up a strategy call with me, I'll provide that link as well. And then today, a writer asked my opinion about book size over in the DMs in Instagram. That's where that question happened. Instagram is my social media platform of choice. DM me, ask your questions. Tell me, what are you working on and what questions do you have? I would love to hear from you. Also, I wanted to make sure that I reminded you that I am offering a free promotional opportunity for any books that you may have published in the past, as long as they are Christian books, whether it's a Christian theme, if it's fiction or a devotional or a how-to or whatever kind of Christian book you've written, I want to know about it. And if it's independent or traditionally published, you know, either one, send them to me. So your name, the book title, a blurb about the book, you know, that back cover blurb, let me know what it's about, and then also provide me with a link so I can see the cover, and also ideally so I can read first chapter or sample, you know, the look inside feature. Be sure to email me at info@inkandimpact.com so that I can take a look at those and curate a list of books that I am going to distribute in November. I'm going to share about it here on a podcast episode in November, as well as sharing those books to my private list of readers, my mailing list of readers that I have accumulated. So if you haven't already taken me up on this offer, it's a fantastic offer for you to be able to get your book seen by new readers. Be sure to tune back in next week. We will have another guest on the show. It will be featuring Kent Sanders, who is a fellow author, and he's going to be speaking with us specifically about generosity and the importance of generosity as a writer. It's a really great discussion. So be sure to subscribe to Ink and Impact podcast on your podcast player of choice. And you can, of course, go to inkandimpact.com. This episode of Ink and Impact has been brought to you by the 1-year collection of weekly writing prompts. Write your life story one question at a time. So this is the book that I have created to help individuals write their life story. It's specifically targeted for individuals who want to write the life story, but they don't know how to get started, or they aren't sure what to include. So this is just an easy way, one question a week, to answer, and then you will have the foundation of your life story at the end of a year. It is just a wonderful gift for yourself. It's a fantastic gift for a family member or loved one, someone that means much to you, just a great way for them to create a lasting legacy. Learn more about that and purchase a copy at my website, Dalene Bickel, DaleneBickel.com. That's it for today, fellow pen pusher. Remember, don't just write a book, make an impact.